COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. If I sound a little hollow this morning, it's not because of my soul. It is because I have no Wi-Fi, and so I'm on my phone this morning until the Wi-Fi is restored and all is good in the world again. In the meantime, we are talking a lot. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. One of them is, okay, where are you? I mean, I know you want to see changes with the Astros, and we got some sound from Dana Brown about Joe's job. He's under contract. Joe isn't going anywhere.
Oh, no, we know he's under contract.
He's under contract.
We know that.
He ain't going anywhere. That's what Dana says. Dana's under contract.
Did he say he isn't going anywhere? Yeah. Do you have some sound where he says he isn't going anywhere?
Yeah, I think
I don't know that
reference.
That's the sound. I know he said he's under contract, and he anticipates him being back, but I did not hear a definitive
maybe
he isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, maybe that was just my interpretation of it. I don't believe he's going anywhere.
Because when I read it, I don't either, but when I read it, it sounded like Dana Brown was just telling you he's under contract.
Oh, we have the audio here.
Yeah. All right.
Let's listen and decipher, because I read it. I didn't hear it. I read it. Let me hear what it sounds like. Let me see if I can break down his voice and the texture of his tone, as we say, Dell, in the business.
No, we don't say that ever, but...
So I don't want to talk about my contract, right now, but I will tell you that I am the GM of the Astros. So as I said, I'm the GM of the Astros, and that's what I would expect to be tomorrow, the next day, Look, I mean, I made it very clear that, look, Joe is the manager, and Joe's under contract.
Yes.
He made it very clear to you. It's not clear to you?
That he's under contract.
Yeah.
I was well aware. Now, he might be the first manager in history to ever be fired with years still on his contract. That could happen.
It's happened before. Oh. But, no.
But I thought he's under contract. You can't get rid of somebody if they're under contract.
Yeah. Well, the question is there... I don't know.
He gave an answer. It didn't sound definitive to me. I think he's basically doing what he has to do. Is he saying, look, I'm not going to talk about my kind. I'm the general manager of the Houston Astros. That's true. He is.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Espada is the manager of the Houston Astros. I think if something doesn't get done by Friday, then nothing's going to get done. And I actually don't expect any of those guys to be gone.
Well,
any of those guys, meaning Brown or Espada, I don't think they'll be gone. I didn't think Bobby Slowick was going to be gone either, and he was. So,
well, yeah. So, is Jim Crane, does he have a side eye for his ex? And if AJ continues to win like he did yesterday, it could take a little bit longer because he will be busy and he won't be available. He's still in a relationship in Detroit.
Why do you – that would be a rare – we don't see that often where a manager, if another team wants to give you a contract, where a manager just says no and goes somewhere else. That doesn't usually happen where a manager opts out of a team trying to give them – their current team trying to give them a contract. We don't see
it happens all the time. Craig Counsell, it happened with last year. It happens all the time.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. Do we know because Jim Crane has forgiven AJ for all that stuff?
Well, I don't know that. I don't know that.
I mean, he fired him because he was people act like Major League Baseball made him do it.
That a manager wouldn't come back. Managers come back to where they were all the time.
They do. They do. But if Detroit still wants him, I don't know that he would leave Detroit. He's not stepping into the same situation he had when he left. I'll tell you that.
Well, no, he's not. But he's stepping into a pretty damn good one. And this is still a really good baseball team when everybody's healthy. A really good baseball team.
I just don't know.
I mean, without all these guys, they finished tied with Detroit this year. Secondly, he's got a bigger payroll here. Third, he still makes Houston home. I don't know why he would think Detroit is a better place to be.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. But I also think that you have to remember he has relationships in that building with those players. Like, we can't just write off the fact that he's got real relationships there, too. And may not want to just leave those guys in Detroit.
In Detroit, yeah.
I know he's got a house here, but I don't know that that trumps who he's worked with and for the last, what has it been, four years?
No one knows. No one knows. Yeah. He'd be the only one that can answer that. But it happens. It happens all the time. And this is home.
Well,
so
I wouldn't mind
coming
it if
back
it
here where he had his most success is not out. It's not. It actually makes a lot more sense than staying in Detroit.
In your opinion.
Right.
I don't know what he thinks of the situation in Detroit. I mean, they got the best pitcher in the American League, and who proved it again yesterday. Scooble was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. 14
strikeouts. And the Astros have a top three.
They do, and then they have a bunch of injuries to arm. They can't keep anybody healthy at their arms. And they've got Altuve's on the backside, and Yordan can't stay healthy. Like, this is not the same situation he left. Not even remotely close.
No.
So I wouldn't. We can have this is a theoretical discussion about AJ Hinch. The reality is it's a huge underdog because right. I think it's an underdog that, first of all, Joe Espada's gone. Right. I think it's an underdog. Now, it wasn't his flame out last year wasn't very impressive in the postseason. This year's flame out was wildly unimpressive over 2 months. Dana Brown's got to wear that too. Both of those guys do. That's why it's even a consideration is how bad it's been the last 2 years.
Nobody in baseball history had the flame out that AJ had.
No, that's right. Not when the numbers are set. That's a decision for Detroit. And Detroit may decide not to renew him.
That's right.
After this series is over, if they blow this series, and they're not the favorite in the next game. Cleveland's a small favorite in the next game. So we've got to see what happens here.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Remember, 23.
Listen, Cleveland can still win this series. Absolutely. After you're done with Scooble, you're not as much in Trouble. You're not nearly as in Trouble.
Well, you are in Trouble. Without Scooble, you're in Trouble.
That's what the T-shirts say.
But the Guardians are less in Trouble.
They're not in Trouble.
The Guardians don't have Trouble. Yeah. No. They've got...
I think you guys are being slightly disrespectful. Like, AJ is still managing. Espada is still managing. But there's a viable candidate out there that you guys haven't mentioned.
Who is it?
Bochy?
Ron Washington's out there for anyone who wants him.
Ron Washington?
Washington.
Is he alive?
Well, the Angels graphic made it seem like he was dead. But they're like clouds around him. And they're like, we're departing. We're cutting ties with Ron Washington. It was just clouds around him. I know it's the Angels, so that's part of the thing. But it looks like he passed away. And someone was like, hey, don't worry about it. He's not dead. They just said he's not
Ron
back
Washington's
as manager.
Ron Washington's 73, but he looks younger. He looks older than Dusty Baker.
Who's the last?
He's lived hard now. An older
African-American gentleman who won a title for the Astros.
That's true. Uh-huh. 2022 true. Is Dusty.
Listen, Bochy's out there, and there's a lot of clamor for Bochy. Bochy's a great manager. Bochy should be a Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah, he's won three different places.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
We're looking at only 70-year-old guys right now.
That's
all. Bochy, 70.
It's
Ron Washington, 73.
You know how old Casey Stengel was when he – it's baseball. Did you ever watch The Natural?
Yeah.
That guy was
probably in his 40s. You know that, right? Like, we assumed everyone – you know that Alice was in her 30s I think she was in her 30s when the Brady Bunch started. Like, people back then looked super old for their age. It's crazy. It's crazy how young these people were. The guy from Cocoon, Wilford Brimley, who had diabetes, go take a look at how old he was during Cocoon, John. You won't believe it. It's like, watch this. How old was Wilford Brimley? You remember Cocoon, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. In Cocoon, Wilford Brimley was 50. And he played 50? Somebody. Yeah, he played somebody who was on death's doorstep, basically. And they didn't even put makeup on him.
Right. How old?
He was 49 during the filming of Cocoon. That's insane.
It was Wilford Brimley in The Natural, too, right?
No. Oh, well, you know what? Which is one of those? You're lollygagging. Is that The Natural? Was that The Natural or was that Bull Durham? I get those two mixed up.
No, The Natural. He was the man. You're the best hitter I ever had. You're the best player.
Maybe it was.
You're the best Pop player Fisher. I ever had. You're the best hitter I ever saw.
His name was Pop Fisher.
Yeah.
And it was played by Wilford Brimley in the 1984 movie. So he was 50 then, too. He was born in 34.
He was hot then.
He was 50. You thought he was like 68.
He was hot. You mean like career-wise?
That's before he had
diabetes. Career-wise. Oh, he was on fire.
Okay. I thought you meant before he got diabetes.
And then The Natural, he was on fire.
He was 50 and you thought he was 70.
I thought he was 70.
I know. Because like a lot of people back then were super old looking and they were like 36.
Yeah.
I've gone down this rabbit hole before. It's astonishing.
Or you're 29 playing a high schooler. It's one of the two.
Yeah, 90210. That's the clear one where Luke Perry is playing 70,
right.
Yeah.
And he's like 27 years old.
He actually was in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and his hairline was going in high school.
Yeah, it's kind of rough when you see
John Amos. You know how old he was for Good Times? 34.
When he had the cul-de-sac?
No, he wasn't 34.
Swear on all of my kids. John Amos was 34 when the sitcom Good Times began. He played. So at that point, he wasn't there for 6 years. So he was never 40 years old on that show. JJ would have been in his 20s. Yes, John Amos started the show at age 34. I'm telling you, they lived hard, bro. They lived hard.
Well, especially Ron Washington.
Well, and Ron Washington looks, honestly, he's an old 73.
Ron Washington, apparently, as a manager at 50 years old, decided it's a good time to start doing coke.
Started up
coke. That's what he said. Took a shot.
Yeah, it was his first time.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, that was my first time. Well, that was a good decision.
That was my first time. Yeah. Nobody liked, because let me tell you, those 50-year-olds love doing new things. I think I'm going to do something different with my life here. Let me try something I haven't tried. Or you lock in and just go, get off my lawn. I've done it this way my whole life, and I'm going to keep doing it this way. I don't take no directions from no woman. What does that guy say?
Yeah. I don't take no orders from no woman.
Yeah, there it is. I don't take no orders from no woman. Here he is. He's coming up.
I thought I saved it on my page. Yeah, I found it, but I thought I saved it.
Whole thing is great because he's just dumping logs.
I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
By the way.
I don't take no orders from no woman.
Just in case you haven't heard.
By the way.
I'm surprised he didn't say anyway.
I think he's from Detroit area. By the way. Although that's got Chicago written all over it.
That was Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. So we're okay. Joe and Dana are still here.
John Amos was 35 after year one. Esther Roll, Florida, his wife, 18 years older, 53. Jimmy was 26. He was 9 years younger than John Amos.
Yeah, John put in some work. If you ever question John Amos' talent, he went in there and was like, he sold that he was in love with Esther Roll.
I know.
And you believed it.
He had to sell he was in love with a woman who was actually 18 years older than him with a son who was 9 years younger. And the whole time he was winning, and when he was short on rent, he went and took his pool stick and won rent at a pool hall. And then he took a gang member who happened to be a pretty small guy, put him over his lap and spanked him. See, this is back when you used to, like, I would never see Good Times now. It'd be on BET or something. You just stream. It'd be on a channel I don't even see. I never would have known about the greatness of James Evans. Never in today's age.
No, no, because you would never watch
it. Is Good Times, does it stream on Hulu? Is it on Netflix? Is it on Hulu? No, it's
has,
probably on the WB.
Commercials? It has commercials?
It's commercials? No. No, I'll pay not to have commercials.
Do you know there was an animated Good Times that came out on Netflix? I think Steph Curry backed it, and the trailer was so bad that it got crushed from the very start. It was every stereotype you could think of for black life currently. So it was set in modern times. It was all the things that you would say, like, some white person doesn't know anything about black people would think black people do. And it was in the trailer, and everyone was like, yeah, we're out on that. We're not going to watch it. Sometimes some things don't need to be remade. And Good Times, the animated series, got crushed. It's terrible. I wouldn't advise watching it unless you want to at least laugh at a Steph Curry failure. That's the only reason I would tell you to watch it.
Wow. Archie Bunker, 48 years old, the Carol O'Connor when he did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you want to really be blown away? Red Fox was 48 when he started Sanford and Son. And he looked easily 64 minimum. Oh, at
more.
That time.
Older. He looked like he was in his 70s.
Alice was 43.
Holy
crap. I
could
see that, but.
All right. The Wi-Fi's back, so I'll be.
Dell's
I'll be
13.
On.
When
I'll
I started here,
on,
I was 13.
When he started here, he was 13.
Yeah.
All right. We got a break. I got to talk about East River 9 real quick. I want to talk about just a great way for you and your company, okay? Get a corporate membership. We've got one at the station where we can use it anytime. We can take clients there. It's an hour and a half with the client. You can do it at night because they've got lights. It's lit. Your client wants to play pickleball. They've got pickleball courts there. You just want to go. You want to take a date, first date? What a great way to do it. Just go hit some balls with her. Bring her to the restaurant bar. They've got on the weekends, they've always got music during crawfish season. They've got a crawfish boils. It's a party. It's a great way. It's a great place for you and your boys to get together at night and, you know, hit some balls, play an hour and a half, have some beers, have some dinner. It's a wonderful place. It's awesome. And the best views of the city that you're going to have in the entire, I'm telling you, it's beautiful. So you're looking for the best way to, you know, if you can't play during the day, you want to play at night? East River 9, baby. Let's go. Get your corporate membership. Get your clients out there. Get your have events out there for your people as well. All at EastRiverTheNumber9.com. EastRiver9.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so besides the Astros yesterday, the big news for the Texans was no Lamar Jackson. He is out possibly 2 to 3 weeks, but for sure this week. So the Astros get Cooper Rush. We've seen backup quarterbacks before, though, and it hasn't. Some of them haven't gone well. This would be horrific if you're playing the worst defense in the league. I mean, this is a recipe for disaster. You're playing the worst defense in the league, and you're facing the backup quarterback, who is Cooper Rush, and you lose the game. Because, okay, one of these 1-3 teams is going to be 1-4. And the Ravens have been like kryptonite to the Texans. I mean, now more than kryptonite. They've just been an ass kicker for this Texans team. And now the Texans are 2.5-point favorites. I don't get that.
Wait. Are they really?
Yeah, they've surged to a 2.5-point favorite.
Cause yeah, I saw 3.5 yesterday. 2.5 Texans.
Yeah.
Ooh, couldn't be me.
Well, no, you didn't do that.
I'm not a believer in that.
You didn't move.
I don't back the Texans being a favorite against the Ravens ever.
No, we're not.
I'm cheering for them, but I don't have tremendous confidence.
We're not doing that here.
Yeah, see, it's off the board where I'm looking right now, but that's going to be interesting. I would keep it off the board personally, but if you know Lamar's not playing, but they have a lot of injuries, man. They have a lot of injuries.
Yeah, it's not just Lamar.
No, we'll see what the injury report looks like. Here it is. Yeah, right now on another side, it does have Houston -2 at Baltimore. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got to think they're going to get Baltimore action swimming in throughout the week.
I mean,
it's going to be hard for Baltimore to score. And Baltimore's defense has been bad regardless. I mean, you've got immovable object and you got movable object and resistible force going up against each other. Yeah. Texans offense, and I don't know if I count one half against the Titans as everything's all fixed on offense. I don't really think I view it that way. I'll have to see something sustained. I'm happy with that half, but I don't know that I'm going to use that one half to think everything's good. But
no, but you're facing a worse defense.
You're facing, yeah, just because their name is the Ravens, and you see those,
no,
you know, you see that Raven on their helmet, and you see the purple and black, that doesn't really mean anything right now.
Yeah. I'm going to play some John Harbaugh. I'm going to get Dell some John Harbaugh. That was, I don't think it was disrespectful, but I don't know. He didn't say we're going to get better this week, but you know, he made the insinuation that there was, you know what, we're okay. We're going to be better this week. And if I was him, I would feel that way too, because, you know, he's been there for all the ass whoopings the Texans have taken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm putting it in the rundown now, Del. Maybe we can get it. He looks at the Texans and goes, well, there's a win. There's a dub for us, for our guys, because they suck. We kick their ass. And that happens all the time. I'm not sure. Yeah, a lot of people are thrilled, and this is a, you know, oh, awesome. You know, we got the Ravens this week. I wouldn't be so. I'm not that crazy about playing.
No,
the Ravens,
but this is week. This is as good a situation as you could possibly hope for.
Yeah,
you get into this game with no Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
I mean, and the Ravens. You know, 2 years ago in the playoffs, you played them pretty well. Last year, it was the worst game of the year. You were embarrassed. Like, it was an embarrassing effort. To score two, it would have been better to score zero. Something just felt even worse about scoring two.
Yeah, that was the worst ass. That was, quite frankly, one of the most embarrassing losses in Texans history.
Agree.
Yeah. I mean, they had no chance whatsoever in that football game. They were humiliated, and the national television audience on Christmas Day. Oh my gosh! I mean, everyone who had picked, you know, oh, the Texans this year, and then that. So this was a loss coming into the season. You know, now, you know, and it's starting 1-3. Oh, and then you got the Ravens looming. Oh, great. 1-4, go to the bye and see, you know, and here we go. No, this is one now that if you lose, it's extreme. This is disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose this one, it's disappointing.
Yeah, because this, you can't have it handed to you any better.
No.
So it's their worst defense they've had in, I don't know, quite possibly more than three decades since their inception as Ravens. Maybe the worst defense they've ever had as Ravens. And certainly the worst pass defense. They don't have much of a rush. And you've got, you know, no Lamar Jackson. You've got an injury to the starting left tackle. Like, how much better can it get?
Hold up. We've seen Derrick Henry with crappy quarterbacks.
Well, that's
and
true.
Still run all over
but
this
you,
team.
But you can't really run against Houston except Tampa. That's the only team. No one else can run against Houston.
I don't.
No one has Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but this Derrick Henry's old and terrible.
I don't know. I mean, he fumbles more, but he's been pretty good.
I know. You're going to get a heavy, heavy dose of. I've seen Derrick Henry rip off two. He had a game over 200 against the Texans, and then like 197.
Yeah. I think he may have two 200 plus yard games.
No, he's.
Yeah. I mean, in one single season.
I think in three straight games, he had the 190, the two something, and then a two something over the course of three straight games.
But that was
he averages 190. He averages 190.
That was about 4 years ago.
Well, he looked pretty good against the Bills.
If you're the Texans, all you're doing is loading up your defensive front and saying, beat us, Cooper.
He has been great. And he just because he fumbled, he ain't fumbling against the Texans.
Why not?
Because why would he?
So first of all, you have to touch him.
What are you talking about? You act like the Ravens are this unstoppable offensive force. They haven't been with Lamar Jackson.
I've seen Derrick Henry with crap quarterbacks.
I've seen him too.
They scored 26. Nearly 40 against the Bills.
Are you guys being afraid again?
30 against
the Lions.
Are
y'all being afraid again?
You know what? Well, we're playing the Ravens. We ought to just, you know what? What an easy game this is. Playing the Ravens.
We should say Derrick Henry's going to run all over us.
It's what he does.
He's good, but he's all they have right now. Yeah. Like, you also can scheme. You can also put an extra man in a box, you know? Can say, beat us, Cooper Rush.
I don't know if you heard how smart Cooper Rush
is. I'm sorry, Matt Burke. How many points have been scored on Matt Burke as a play caller on defense?
So, Tony Pollard.
Can you answer me?
Zero.
Boop, 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 boop.
Nothing.
So, we can give Lance some credit. Since the opener against the Bills, when he went for 169.
That's right.
The Browns, great defense, shut him down, only 23 yards. Detroit, only 12 carries, which is weird, but only 50 yards. And then last week, only 42. So the numbers keep coming down for Derrick Henry. Yeah.
Now, his carries have been 11, 12, and 8. In those.
When they gave him carries,
if you're the Ravens, you've got to give him the ball 18 to 24 times.
Justice Hill needs to get 10.
But if I'm the Texans, if I'm the Texans, Jalen Petrie is going to live inside the box. I may play a standard front, a standard 4-3 front. I may have EJ Speed, Toto, and Aziz Al-Shaair all in there together. I may not even play my nickel. And just say, look, if you want to beat us with Cooper Rush, go ahead. But we're not going to sit here with light personnel on the field against Derrick Henry. We're not.
And we got a secret weapon now, Togiai.
That's a secret weapon?
Well, he's been a secret because he hasn't been on the field.
Yeah,
he's on the field, and look at what he's doing.
He's been pretty good.
He's been real good.
He's been pretty good.
And actually, D'Amico said, no, that dude is top of the list of getting more playing time.
Yeah.
Top of the list. When we come back, what do we know about Jarrett Kingston? The Texans picked him up. We will talk about
that. Not one single thing. What's the next topic we're talking about?
We don't know about.
He's a mystery.
I guess that's out of the way. What are we doing next?
That was going to be the next segment.
That was going to be, but instead, we will play D'Amico talking about Togiai.
Oh, I did write him up. I'll tell you about Jarrett Kingston
when
we come back.
That's what I'm saying. You had to have written him
up. When we come back, I'll tell you about Jarrett Kingston, the guard from USC who I do not remember.
All right.
You are. You have a write-up on this guy.
Yeah.
Real sicko
you don't even
you
remember
are.
Jarrett Kingston. Let's break. He's a new Texan. He's the newest Texan, and we'll talk about him on the other side. Plus, we'll hear D'Amico on the sideline with talking about Togiai. Let's take a break. 713-780-3776. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jarrett Kingston. Let's get to that. There's a lot of baseball stuff that we need to get to still. I mean, that was a really good day yesterday. Really fun day of baseball yesterday. Not high-flying, hijinks, and hilarity. A lot of great pitching. A lot of high drama. And more Astros doing great things. Former Astros, anyway.
What they do.
It's what they do. Jarrett Kingston, tell us about him.
Guard, coming out of USC, I said this about him.
You didn't even remember writing him up.
I really didn't. He's a pretty good athlete. Looking at his numbers, he's actually very athletic, good strength numbers. From a bench press was 32, his three cone and short shuttle and vertical jump and broad jump and 10 yards. All of them are good athletic numbers. I said offensive lineman who has the grit, play strength, and know how to play guard, but his size and length could prevent it. Kingston's been well trained in pass protection with a steady posture and quick hand strikes, but he could have issues when he's on an island and forced to defend both gaps against athletic rushers. He's capable of making zone scheme blocks and does an admirable job of sustaining run blocks as long as possible. While he never played the position in a collegiate game, his future in the NFL might rest on his ability to prove he can snap and move to center. Now, up to this point, and I don't see that being the case, obviously, he played 7 games for the Carolina Panthers at one point, I think last year. He was on the practice squad. He got taken off the practice squad. Once you sign somebody from a practice squad, you must put them on and keep them on your roster. You can't take them off your roster. So you already have Patterson and you already have Andrews, so I don't, you know, they've got him to be guard.
So apparently the Texans saw him. Well, they practiced against the Panthers,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's where they saw him.
And then they played him in the game, and they saw him sitting there on the practice squad.
Well, they saw him last year, too, and they have a scouting report. But they saw him up close and personal, I think, at practice. It's probably, John, you're right.
Yeah.
That's probably where they said, hey, let's keep this guy in mind.
Yep. So, yeah, and he was there. And, you know, we've seen what's going on with Tomlinson and Scruggs. And maybe this guy can come in and he can help us out right now. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't, maybe not this week, but if it wasn't soon that he was on the field.
You think so?
Yeah.
In whose place?
Scruggs.
You mean Scruggs and Tomlinson?
Yeah. Scruggs / Tomlinson.
Yeah. I have a hard time believing
that.
Well, Scott
Tomlinson started and played, what, 20%? I don't know.
Yeah, but
we haven't heard any injuries.
If you're pulling a guy off a practice squad to play ahead of your free agent and your second rounder, boy, are you in trouble.
Yeah, well.
And I didn't think, and actually they seem to be okay with Scruggs, how he's played recently. Huh? What a damning situation going on for Nick Caserio with Lakin Tomlinson. Whew.
It ain't like they can't still get better.
Yeah, I don't know if this guy's going to get you better.
Yeah.
He feels just like a roster spot, but is there somebody injured that I...
You is he going to turn the wrong way? That's all I care about.
Maybe
there's going to be a guy standing over him, and he's going to just look away from him and let
him. So you're telling me he's coming in for Ed Ingram?
Well, that happened once.
That happened twice.
Though. That happened.
He got beat on that delayed blitz by Todd Bowles too.
Oh yeah. But yeah, Ed Ingram has played pretty. Apparently, according to 33rd team and Pro Football Focus, Ed Ingram is the best lineman in the history of the Texans.
Lakin was only a 1-year deal, so this is nothing. This is nothing. Yeah, so I don't, you know, whatever. This is not a Shaq Mason where Shaq ended up being disappointing. Frankly, Lakin Tomlinson should have to fight for a spot on the field. He hasn't been very good. So if Juice can beat him out, beat him out. I don't personally think Jarrett Kingston is going to be a factor anytime soon. I do wonder if there's an injury somewhere on that roster. I have to check and see, because you got 2 centers, you got 3 guards, that's 5, you got 3 tackles now. Let me check the depth chart. Who is right now currently working as the 3rd tackle? Is it Zach Thomas? Who's the
Blake?
Let me see who the currently
Blake
who the
Fisher
other
is their 3rd tackle.
Oh, that's right. He's just such a... That's right. And, it's Blake Fisher.
Listen.
Great.
He's got to be up with the big team now. They grabbed him off the practice squad, Kingston. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised at all if they don't say,
well,
you know.
So that's what they did. They took – so Cam's spot, a 4th tackle, is being replaced by a 3rd guard.
Right.
Because you got Fisher, Scruggs, Patterson, Kingston, and then Fisher. So working from left to right. So you got the swing tackle. You've now got 4 guards and 2 centers. That just makes sense for the roster construction. I just don't know. I mean, that's not a very good team, Carolina. He hadn't been able to crack it as a starter in Carolina for 2 years. He wasn't even able to make a roster in Carolina.
And it's the Texans.
I get it, but you just told me yesterday the Texans offensive line is not playing bad.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like. No. A practice squad guy on one of the worst teams in football who can't get on the field there, I think he's just a roster.
Hey,
guy.
It's what we do.
I know.
It's what we do.
Pick out a band-aid. No, you're right. You're right. We could see him. I don't think it's a great situation that I'm having to consider a practice squatter for Carolina getting on the field and a guy who I wrote up and had as a 5-6 prospect who's a back end of the roster to practice squad player. I don't want that in my lineup. If I'm being honest with you, I don't really want that in my lineup. Of course, I didn't love Ed Ingram either. So,
Yeah, and look what Ed's doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some good, some bad, but I would say that mostly much better than expected. I'm happy with Ed Ingram. I mean, I am. I'm glad to have been up to this point wrong on Ed Ingram. I thought he was going to be a major disappointment in pass pro, and I don't think he's been. He's made some mental mistakes, but in terms of the physical ability, he's shown an ability to stay in front of people and as a run blocker. So I've been happy with Ed Ingram, really happy with Jake Andrews. It's not going to be talked about because the narrative's already out there. There's really nothing that can be done. The offensive line's terrible. You need to draft five new players, whatever the case. That's just going to be it. Everything that happens wrong is going to be the offensive line's fault. Some of it is, some of it isn't. But Jake Andrews deserves some credit. That guy plays well on tape. When you watch him, I'm like, wow, you know, that's a good one. Nick pulled him off the practice. Nick pulled him off the injury pile. He didn't play last year at all. He barely played the year before, and they got a pretty good player. Now, I liked him coming out of Troy, but I haven't seen, you know, for Nick to go out and get him, that was a good job. That was a good job by him and by, I guess, Cole Popovich. I guess Cole had some input on that, maybe. Maybe he had already studied him, knew him, wanted him.
Do you know something we don't know? His name is Popovic.
I said, what do you mean?
You said Popovic.
No, I said Popovich.
Popovich? Oh.
Didn't okay. I tell?
I stopped paying attention.
It's Cole Popovich.
Fair. We're not concerned about it, so we're not concerned about it. You guys certainly shouldn't be concerned about it either.
I thought you were just talking about I stopped paying attention because you're talking backup interior linemen.
Well, that too.
Honestly, I think
I had to find the clip.
I probably made everyone turn the channel.
I mean.
Oh, Jarrett Kingston talk from Lance.
John set you up for this.
I know, he set me up for failure.
Listen. That's help on the way. We got to know whether or not
help on the way.
I don't like the positioning of the
practice squad.
I hope it's not help on the way. I hope he's a body who holds a bag in practice.
Do the Titans have a practice squad guy in the Jets that we can go get and save this season? That's not how we're doing this.
Help on the way. I hope not.
Help on the way.
Hope he's just a good locker room guy.
You think he's a locker room?
Hey, they love character guys. I hope he just comes in the locker room and just happy to be here.
He looks gritty. Like his face looks like he's a gritty player.
No, he does.
Patterson, I can tell you this right now. Andrews, Patterson, and Jarrett Kingston are going to be thick as thieves.
He looks like he eats Whataburgers on the toilet.
Yes. Yeah. To be fair, that's what I want out of my offensive lineman, if we're being honest.
Why on the toilet,
What
though?
I don't want are the man
because
bags with the straps.
Don't care.
You know the straps across the strappy little bags that they wear. It should never be an offensive lineman like, oh, look at this man purse that the offensive lineman has.
What's his name again?
Jarrett Kingston.
John is positioning him as help. It's like if Kawhi called the Astros training staff for help on staying on the court. What are you talking about? I don't want that guy as a helper. Stay away. Don't play. Just be I hope he's a pom-pom guy. Wave a towel. Never active. Never in uniform is what I'm looking for. I don't want him ever to be in a Texans uniform.
Are we playing Carolina at any point soon where we're trying to get the intel on him so we sign a practice? You know, you saw Kenyon Green got signed by the Ravens.
And people are like, I hope they elevate him.
I know. Ooh, Kenyon's going to tell all the Texans secrets.
Wait a minute. What is he going to tell them that the Ravens don't already know about how to kick the Texans
I saw another guy say, yeah, but once he gets his knee stabilized, you're going to see the real Kenyon.
That's what I'm saying.
I've already seen the real Kenyon. And we're done with the real Kenyon. We're done with him. Best of luck to real Kenyon. I'm not paying any attention to him anymore. If he does well, that's great. I'll be really happy that's a great turnaround for him. But I'm not wasting any more of my energy. I got to worry about Jarrett Kingston now.
You don't have to worry about him.
Now John's making me think that he's starting, so now I got to worry about what's this Kingston guy going to do.
Next couple, 3 weeks. Oh, look who's starting.
Scruggs out.
We got a real problem if that happens.
If they get their asses whipped by the Ravens, they may have some changes.
We don't need him to ever put on the helmet on game day.
What are you talking about?
Keep the Texans gear on, like the T-shirt or the zip-up, whatever it is, depending on the weather.
Oh, he's not a 45
that
qualifier?
Man's trying to have a career.
I don't mind if
you want him in a T-shirt.
They signed him off the practice squad, right? So he's active.
So you're going to
have... Well, he's part of the 53, doesn't
mean
he's active.
You'll have Jarrett 6, Juice 7, and you'll have Blake Fisher 8. Yeah, he should not be active. Yeah. He should not be inactive.
He won't be active this week.
I want to see at 10:30 when the Texans send out their inactives, his name on that list every time.
I do too. I don't want to go to the. I don't want to go to the Panthers
that
practice.
Man's trying to have a career.
I hope he does. He's currently on the NFL
this
roster.
This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to him because he didn't get. You know, there's a practice squad pay, which ain't great. And
he's on the active roster.
Once you sign him off the practice squad, you must keep him on active roster. He's getting real paychecks.
He's going to get real paychecks, but I need him as part of that eight.
Yeah.
The eight on the inactive
like
list.
Like in college, they'd be jumping up and down on kickoffs, getting waving towels, getting hyped up if this were college. You know, those guys you think, okay, his dad must give a lot of money to the program because this little white kid should not be wearing number 39, an actual uniform. I always wonder, I look at some of those sidelines that the hype squad out there with their jerseys, and I'm like, okay, how did this guy get on the Texas?
I'll tell you this, John. The only time I want to see him in full uniform is like in December when it's team photo day.
You guys are you guys are kind of jumping up and down on the sideline with a
say
towel
that. That's
on
what
kickoff.
Lance
yes,
said.
This man is going to be our starting guard.
No, he's not.
Stop saying that.
Juice Scruggs has not secured confidence yet from you.
No.
What about Lakin?
No.
Do you know he can bench press
He great.
Can bench press like
can he bench press a defensive tackle?
Not
can't.
Probably
can't.
Not.
Can he get the brakes on time?
Well, he had all the time in the world to figure it out after Juice Scrugg took over.
Can he talk about underdog?
He probably doesn't know much, but Lance does.
Yeah, I do. I know underdog can. Well, because, see, this is the thing. Once you start playing underdog, you can't stop. I mean, you really can't. What are you going to do? Stop playing underdog? Why would you do that? Underdog fantasy has the ability to. What you can do is you start watching these games and you start playing along with them. You download the app, use promo code Lance when you make your first deposit. Once you do that, once you play your first $5, you remember you have to use promo code Lance, they're going to give you $100 in bonus cash in your account. And here's what's really cool. You take this money and use it however you see fit. Now, I'm suggesting you play it, for example, on just the pick'ems. So pick three players you like. And on the Thursday night football coming tomorrow, take a look at the game and decide how you think the game's going to go. Maybe even look at the point spreads and the over-unders and the totals to get a sense of, you know, if it's going to be a high-flying game, is it going to be a lower-scoring game? And then make your decisions about how the game's going to go for your quarterback, the running back, the wide receivers, tight ends. All these statistics are available, and it's not just each player. Each player has a multitude of statistics to choose from. You go find something that you think's a little bit soft, and you go play it lower, or you go play it higher. And if you win, the more you play, the more games you pick, the more players you pick, and the more you win, it really elevates your payout to where you're making big money. I've seen people send over five players that they hit on underdog, and it paid over $1,000. I was like, wow, I wish that could be me, because that's taking your football knowledge and doing something with it. Do it every single week with Underdog Fantasy. That's Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, how about that baseball yesterday? It was, Alex Bregman coming through in the ninth inning to give him an insurance run.
Good for Breggy.
In a one-run game. It just was like, I'm
cheering for him, man. I like
him. I am too, but.
And he's just clutch. This is what he does. He's had some down playoffs
before. I just hate that, though, that he's doing it for the Red Sox.
Well, pay that man then.
Yeah. Well,
Jim Crane could have paid him if he wanted.
He's going to opt out, so the Astros are going to get him back.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah. I just said it. Okay. He's coming back. AJ, we're getting the band back together.
Okay.
AJ's coming back.
Justin's coming back.
George is coming back.
Ooh, we're going to be the old-ass Houston
is George
Astros.
A free agent?
We don't know.
No
one knows. It's impossible.
Well, while you
are. Verlander is. He'll be 43 years old in February.
Well, while you are conjuring up fantasy scenarios, at least yesterday, Dana Brown said they will be in the market for a trade for a pitcher.
Yeah.
Because they need the help.
Yeah.
We talked about it yesterday. He probably was listening to the show.
Oh, you think he hadn't formulated a plan until yesterday?
No. I noticed that yesterday, all of a sudden, after John and I talked about the fact that he needs to add pitching, he'll probably have to pay for it. You know, and it's not. And once we broke down what's going on with the roster, he was like,
"It's interesting that you position it as you and John when I was the one who was hammering paying for pitching."
Yeah, but you brought it up, but we fleshed it out.
Oh, by the way, John, do you know that your partner's a dirty macker? Do you know what that is, John?
It sounds bad.
A dirty macker is a guy who will go behind your back and talk down on you in front of women.
No, that's just in your face.
No, you've done it behind my back, but sometimes I hear it too.
Lance, what are you talking about behind your back?
Lance is a dirty macker. Like, down the hall, there's a new woman here. Her name is Rebecca, who works down the hall.
So we were just doing our thing where we're yelling on the show.
Yeah, sure. And she didn't know what was real.
And Melissa goes, "Hey, you guys weren't mad at each other." I said, "No." She goes, "I had to tell Rebecca her. She's this new girl. And she said y'all were yelling, and she was really nervous that y'all were going to all have a fight or something." I'm like, "No, it's just how we do things."
Yeah.
And she goes, "Here, come tell her. Come meet her." And so I said, "Okay." And I told her, I was like, "No, everything's fine." I said, Dell just says dumb stuff, and we have to sift through it.
Why did he have to add that? Dell just says dumb.
Well, then remember I called you a dummy.
Well, he just
you said I was a dirty macker when I called you a dummy.
But why on the on the show, that's fine, because I can fight back. But when he says it when I'm not around, he's a he'll do.
And I said, Dell did that, stupid dummy.
Yeah, and it's all good fun because, you know, Lance loves Nicole, blah, blah, blah. Caveats. You understand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he'll do that no matter if it's Rebecca. He'll drop something in front of Sam like, "Dell this, Dell that." He does this all the time.
And he said I was dirty macking.
He's a dirty macker.
Yeah, he is.
I'm not a dirty macker.
You know you did that in college, too. Yeah. You did that in college.
I didn't dirty mack anybody.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
I don't have that in my game. Now, I'm not a dirty macker.
It's in your DNA. Of course it's in your game.
Yeah.
I'm sure whether it's a buddy or an acquaintance and you're around a girl you liked in college, you would have slipped something this guy. Definitely.
John's got dirty mac written all over him, not me.
No, you.
You try to blow up your friends all the time. Look at you with your dumb jeans.
I would never do
that in front of women.
I'm always a great wingman. That's what I am.
Lance would never be the case. He would never be a great wingman.
I've seen the way you treat Kent, the things you said to Kent Jones at our listener party with
his significant other. Yeah. That's not dirty macking.
That's not dirty macking?
That's not dirty macking.
No. That's right in front of his girl.
But that's his girl.
They're not married.
He already knows it's his girl. Dirty macking is when there's a woman who seems to be available
What are we saying here, Bill?
I kind of did that with Paul.
A single woman.
I kind of did that with Paul.
Well, he was with his girl, too. That ain't dirty macking. That's not dirty macking.
That's not dirty macking?
No, because
you got to do it behind her back.
He was embarrassing Paul right in front of his girl.
He was embarrassing Paul.
She looks like a hooah.
Yeah, he was embarrassing him, but that's
not dirty macking. Is that a prostitute you got there?
I never said that.
It looks like, what you said was it looked like Paul paid for her to be with him. That's what you said. He didn't
call
her that word.
Well, there's no reason other than that she would be with him.
Worse than dirty macking.
You might be right, but it's not the definition of dirty macking, what he was doing. That's something else altogether.
I don't think I was dirty macking. I didn't even know the term, and now
you do it behind her back. You're a backstabber, back.
I don't recognize that term.
All of a sudden, someone will come up to me.
I do it right to Dell when Sam's there.
And Lance said this. I was like, "What do you mean Lance said this?" And then you would definitely do it. In high school, of course
dirty
you are.
Macker.
Yeah. I'm trying to help Dell out.
And
with
for
the girls.
What? No, you're not.
No, you don't. I'm the one. I always take Dell. Shoot your shot.
Me out with some random woman at East River 9 walks by and you say, "Hey, Dell, shoot your shot."
Or, "Hey, has Dell shot? What do you think of Dell?"
That doesn't help. That's not.
That does help.
That's not a wing. You're not being a great wingman. You're putting everyone in an awkward spot.
She would never otherwise look at you.
Unless you mentioned that I was there. Thanks, John. You're great as well. Thank you.
I'm a great wingman.
You're not a great wingman, but at least you're not a dirty macker. Yeah. That's what Lance is.
I think he is.
Where does that come from? What does dirty macker mean?
I didn't know that was what it meant.
It's two Americas. You wouldn't know.
You wouldn't
know. I'm on one side of America. You're on the other. You wouldn't know. But it's a term. And that's what Lance is.
Does it have anything to do with Bernie Mac?
No. See, that's why it's two Americas. You would think it has something to do with Bernie Mac. But no. But just know, that's what your partner is. At any chance.
I don't recognize that.
And it's worse because he's not actually trying to sneak in because he's with Nicole.
I called you a dummy.
But he still does it,
I called you a dummy yesterday. That's all I did, and you said I was dirty macking.
It's evidence that it's in his DNA. He can't help himself.
It's not there, John. It's not in my DNA. No one's ever proven that.
It's not
in my DNA.
I bet you did that behind your buddy's backs in college all the time.
I didn't. We were too busy playing basketball.
Yeah.
And Tulane girls,
what? What does that mean?
They weren't as bad as Knox girls. I can
You're right. Well, I mean, some of them really good, but, you know, they were just crunchy. You're dealing with Long Island girls, which wasn't my style. Or you, every once in a while you run into the crunchy, like, bohemian types. Not my jam. Not my jam. Now, Miss Teen Puerto Rico. Now, that's different.
Did she go to Tulane?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
And did.
And I was talking to her in a friendly way.
And did you
try to get my Spanish off?
Did you dirty Mac?
I didn't dirty Mac anybody.
If there was a guy, if one of his buddies was interested,
But she had a bodyguard. This girl was like a bodyguard. Just, I'm like, can you get out of the way, please? She wanted to talk all the time. I'm like, anybody trying to talk to you? Beat it. We're trying to see your friend.
Why weren't you interested in talking to her?
She played third base.
Porky, hog, fat ass, double-eyed, butterball.
No.
It wasn't that reason?
No, but she could have caught for a softball team.
That sounds complimentary.
It just means she's sturdy.
Was she a pitcher or a catcher?
If you want to try to run her down at the plate.
He said catcher.
No, catcher. She's sturdy at the plate.
Okay. All right, let's break. I had a great day yesterday. Great day. I got to play a course that I normally couldn't play. And at the start, there's Coors Light. When you get to the fifth hole, they've got a house where there's Coors Light. Then you come back on 14, they got Coors Light. It was just a great Coors Light and golf day. And I don't know that there's better days in the world, if you want to know the truth. And it was just awesome. And I just feel like when I'm having a great time, that Coors Light is part of my life. And I hope that you make it part of your life, too. Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. It is. A guy I was with, he ordered some other beer. I was like, I'm not going to hold it against you. But listen, we can't be best of friends because you're drinking that beer and I'm drinking Coors Lights. Let's not be divisive in this country. Let's all drink Coors Light. Okay, let's all drink Coors. Let's all decide that we're going to be on the right side of this thing. Let's all drink cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing Coors Light. It's not, okay, let's all get together, one unifying beer for the whole country. Let's all be about cold, clean, crisp, Blue Mountains, being refreshed, and having a wonderful time with Coors Light. Have it in your house. Have it for your buddies. Always have it on hand. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brothers.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.